Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Tzadik Gimel. Now, what we need to do is get back into our discussion, because we're going to have an entire daf almost, which is all part of sort of a tangential discussion. And how did we begin this tangential discussion? Because we were trying to figure out what the din would be about the case of the Shomeret Yavam. So Rabbi Yonai said that Kiddushin, remember, it all started with the question of how to read the Pasuk. And Shmuel said, Ba'aniyotenu, because we don't have proper access to Torah Shebiksav, we don't know how to read the Pasuk. Lo tiyeh eshet ha-met ha-chutza. Does that mean lo tiyeh, that it will not happen, because the Torah is saying that there is no Kiddushin that can be Chal, there can be no Havaya, which is Kiddushin? Or does it mean to be an Iser? Loti, yeah, I'm telling you not to do it. Now, this is the way that we started the Sukkah, which, of course, was completely part of our understanding of Yevamos, and that we understood why we brought that up. From there, we got into the discussion between Rabbi Yonai, who was Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe, and Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Yonai, Rebbe, why do we need your psak? Because Rabbi Yonai had quoted the Chabura that had Paskin specifically, Ein Kedushin Tovsin Biyavama, and that's the way that Rav understood it. Why do we need that? It's a Beferisha Mishnah. What's the Beferisha Mishnah? Because when we were talking about, and here's how the whole thing starts as a tangent, we were talking in this Mishnah about things that cannot happen now, and somebody tries to do an act that will make them happen later. So remember, we had a case, for instance, someone who isn't Jewish, and he wants to marry a woman when he becomes Jewish. So he says, while he's still a goy, and he's in the process of giur, so while he's still a goy, he says to this woman, listen, the moment I become Jewish, this kedushin should be chal, that I'm giving you now. So then we had a lot of examples like that. A Jewish man says the same thing to a non-Jewish woman, or we had the same case of an Eved or a Shiva, whatever. The point is that over there, we say that a person cannot make a kinyan on a Dover Shalom Bala Olam. Now, one of the cases was, and this was Rabbi Yochanan, who pointed out that one of the cases is that somebody says to a Yavama, after you get Chalitza, then our Kedushin should be Chal, which means that we're comparing the case of a Yavama to a Goya. She can't have Kedushin now, says Rabbi Yochanan. So you see very clearly that there is no Kedushin that could be Chal, right? Great Raya. So that is exactly like Rav. This begins today's discussion, which we really began yesterday, but I'm just trying to remind you. We're going to have an entire daf now that is based around the question of Davar Shelo Bat La'olam. Because yesterday, Rish Lakish said, and Rabbi Yonai's response to Rabbi Yochanan was, you're absolutely right, and you found yourself a pearl. But if I hadn't taken off the rock from the oyster, you never would have found the pearl. So I opened your mind to recognize that what we're dealing with over here is the question of the possibility of doing something now, as opposed to the Isser V'Heter. And because of that, you saw it, but what you saw is true. You found the pearl. So Rish Lakish came along and he said, you know, look, I mean, I can't argue with your Rebbe. I mean, if he says that you found a pearl, what am I going to say? But it sure ain't no pearl as far as I'm concerned. It's ridiculous. Because how do you prove from that Mishnah that Kedushin is not Chal according to anybody because of the Diak and the Pasuk, Lo Tiyeh Eshet HaMet HaChutza? Maybe the reason that we incorporated the case of the Yevama who needs to get Chalitza in the list of cases where Kedushin won't be Chal is because the Mishnah is going Aliyah to Rabbi Akiva. And remember that Rabbi Akiva holds on any Isser Lav, Kedushin is not Chal. So what makes you think that this has something to do with that discussion about Rav and Shmuel? If it's going Aliba to Rabbi Akiva, so then the whole thing has zero applicability to that Machlokas. It's just an example of an Isser Lav. That's all. That was Rish Lakish's time. The brilliant comeback against Rish Lakish was that that's a dumb question. Because if it was Rabbi Akiva, Why, we know that Rabbi Akiva holds that Adam is able to be Maknadavar Shalom Bala Olam, and therefore the whole thing would have fallen apart because the entire structure of the Braita was all of the various things that you can't do now, and therefore, if you can't do it now, you can't do it for later either, because it's a Davar Shalom Bala Olam. So how could that be Rabbi Akiva? How did we know that Rabbi Akiva holds that you can actually have Dinim Bichal or Kinyonim Bichal on something which right now does not exist from the case in the Mishnah in the Dorim, where over there the Chachomim said, if a woman says to her husband that my salary is osur on you with a netter, or what it is that I make is osur on you, the crafts that I'm making, you don't have to even bother being made for the netter if you're her husband, because it's not hers. She can't osur you on something that is yours, because that was already part of the Tanaya Ketubah, that's yours. And Rabbi Akiva surprisingly said, no, you better be made for it, because even though right now it's not hers, maybe the day will come when she will get more crafts, manage to manufacture more than you have a right to, which is a whole sugi ksivas, how much do you have a right to, and so on. And then it'll be also on you, so better be made for it now. How can you be made for it now? It doesn't exist. What do you mean made for it now? Therefore, we see that Rabbi Akiva holds, it doesn't have to be extant in order for you to do things with it. Same thing would be about kinyanim. That was our discussion yesterday. Today, it turns out that Reish Lakish has a comeback to that. And basically, the way that we understood Rabbi Akiva, that the only reason you have to be made for the nether is because he holds Adam Maknadavashi Lo Baliolam, and that therefore the woman can asur. Maybe in 10 years from now, she'll make something that her husband doesn't have a right to, and therefore, you better be made for the netter now. How can she answer something that doesn't exist? I mean, that's crazy. There's an answer to that. And that's where we're up to today, is that answer. So let's take a look on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph. And we're on the third line. So we said, according to Rabbi Akiva, Yafer, Shema Ta'adif Alav Yoter Min HaRa'uy Lo, which proves that according to Rabbi Akiva, actually, Adam can be Maknadavar Shalom Bala Olam, and therefore can't be Rabbi Akiva. Says Reish Lakish, what do you mean it can't be Rabbi Akiva? Of course it can. Because remember, Ha'itmar Allah, we explained away that diak in Rabbi Akiva. We said, that's not the reason that Rabbi Akiva said that you need to do the Afarat HaNeder. Not because she can asur something that doesn't exist. It's you misunderstood the netter. What she actually said was, Ha'itmar Allah Om Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yoshua, the lashon of the netter was, Yikadeshu Yadai La'osehem. She said that my hands are kadesh to the Shamayim. So her netter was not on what her hands created, but on the fact that the utilization of her hands for any purposes are usher. That is a davar sheyeshba olam. Her hands exist. And therefore, even though she doesn't have the right to do that where her hands are mishu'ubadot to the husband, but she could certainly asur her hands, and therefore you need to make the hafarat neder now. But that has nothing to do with the davar shelo bala olam. So that concludes the conversation between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan that triggers the conversation that we're going to have today in the Gemara. So what we are about to do is to show that even though we came up with Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua just now with an alternative explanation to why, according to Rabbi Akiva, you do have to be made for a netter, and it's not because that netter is chal now on something that doesn't exist, it's because the thing does exist because we're referring to her body that she's asuring. It turns out that that explanation, according to which Rabbi Akiva holds Ein Adam Oser Davar She'eino Shelo, is actually part of a broader historical discussion in which generation after generation of Rav and Talmud, have a long list that we're about to explore of Shitot, according to which the din is that Adam is Makne Davar She'eino Shelo Bala Olam. And in this alternative version, Rabbi Akiva was the source and the beginning of those generations, all of whom held that Adam Makna Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam, which means that what Rabbi Reish Lakish was trying to say is, according to this version, not supportable. Because we have now a whole historical line according to which Rabbi Akiva actually holds Adam Makna Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam, which means that the raya that we brought yesterday against Reish Lakish would stand. And that when Reish Lakish told Rabbi Yochanan, I don't know why, Rabbi Yonah, I thought you found a pearl, looks to me like a bunch of mud, and that's because it's maybe going Aliba to Rabbi Akiva, is wrong. It can't be going Aliba to Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva holds Adam Makne Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam. So we're going to spend now the next half an hour discussing this historical series of Piskei Halachas, all of which are based on the concept of Adam Makne Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam. However, I want to point to you a very fascinating thing, and that is that one of the klolim of Piskei Halachas is that wherever the Gemara traces a historical line of Rebbe and Talmud that hold X, it's telling you that that is an idiosyncratic line and that it's not the halacha. We don't paskin the halacha is that Adam Makna Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam. We paskin Ein Adam Makna Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam. And it's because of that that the Gemara wants us to understand that where we find cropping up an assumption that Adam is Makna Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam, it's because we have this long history of a whole group that followed a sheet of Rabbi Akiva that held that, but Pesach Halacha L'maaseh is not like that. So now we're going to examine that series. Okay, so we got up to Pliga, and this is now the fifth line on Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Aleph. Upliga the Renachman by Yitzchak. So what we just said to explain that there's an alternative, and we said that according to Rabbi Akiva, Ein Adam Makna Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam, which was the explanation that Reish Lakish offered for why he thought there wasn't any pearl hidden under there, and he couldn't see any oysters, that actually he explained that there's an alternative, but turns out that the world is Rabbi Yochanan's oyster, because it turns out that this entire series actually shows that there is a Rabbi Akiva who holds not like Reish Lakish understood him. And this, therefore, argues with Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak, because it was Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak who pointed out that generation after generation, let me trace this back for you. Reb Huna, he ended up going like his Rebbe, Rav. And Rav was going like his Rebbe, Rabbi Yonai. Rabbi Yonai was going like his Rebbe, Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia was going like his Rebbe, who was Rabbeinu HaKodesh. Rabbeinu HaKodesh was going like Rabbi Meir, who was his Rebbe. And Rabbi Meir was following the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who was his Rebbe. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was following Rabbi Akiva, all of whom hold Adam Makna Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam. So they all hold this idiosyncratic theory, which, therefore, is not allowing us to explain that Rabbi Yochanan's oyster disappears under Rabbi Akiva Shita, because even though it might have disappeared under Rabbi Akiva Shita, that at Chayev Lav, Ein Kedushin Chal Tefsim B'Chayev Lavim, it still wouldn't be able to explain the fact that it's going like Rabbi Akiva in terms of the issue of Adam Makna Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam. And the whole presentation was about saying to a Yavama that I want to marry you the moment you get chalitz, and here is your ring, right? So if you hold Adam Makna Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam, there's no problem. I don't care whether Kedushin is chal on chayvei lavin, or whether the problem is that there's a diak in the pasuk of lo tiyeh shetameh sachutz. So the bottom line is there's no problem, because Adam Makna Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam, and that causes Reish Lakish to fall apart. So now we're going to go through every one of these shitas. So we started off that Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak said, well, I can tell you the most recent example of this idiosyncratic shita was Rav Huna. What was he referring to? Well, Rav Huna said that if somebody sells futures in a tree, so he's got this palm tree. Remember, palm trees are very valuable. So he's selling the future production of a palm tree to somebody. It's the middle of the winter, so there's no fruit on this tree. So he says, okay, I'm selling you the future fruit that are going to come out on this palm. So, Omer Rav Huna, Ad Shelo Ba'ula Olam, before those fruit come into existence, you can still cancel the sale, because the sale wasn't chal. Even if you hold on a magnet of Shelo Ba'ula Olam, it's obviously if the thing isn't there, it hasn't been chal yet. It'll only be chal the moment the thing actually comes into being. But up until that point, the buyer and the seller can change their mind. So over here, you can have charata from the sale. But Misha Bola Olam, once those fruit come out, pow, they're already owned by the person you sold it to, even though you sold it before they existed. So in Yocholach Zorpo. So you see that Adam is matad of a Shelo Bola Olam. Reb Nachman, who argues, says, no, the sale is completely ridiculous. Af Misha Bola Olam Yocholach Zorpo. I mean, If it's a davar shelo ba'ula olam, he never sold it. Omer Reb Nachman, look, I'm ready to admit that if the guy who bought it already took it and he ate it, and the seller believes that it was a good sale, so lo mafkina mine, we're not going to take it away from him, because basically he was meichel. He allowed the guy to take it. That's something else. But if you're talking about the question of withdrawal, there ain't nothing to withdraw from. There never was a sale. Okay, now, the next thing I said was Rav Huna got that from Rav. Where does Rav say that the halacha is that Adam Akhtan Dover Shalom Baal Olam? Rav? Because Rav Huna quoted Rav, and that's how I know that was Rav Huna had learned it from Rav. Rav Huna quoted Rav as saying exactly that. So what did he say? Sada zu shani lo keach. Look, this guy wants to flip a purchase. Okay, so what he does is to guarantee the flip. People do this in real estate all the time, right? So I'm going to go out, I'm going to buy myself a project that somebody else has run into trouble with. I want to make sure that I have renters on the project, right? So what I, or a buyer where I can make a profit. So in order to flip it, what I do is in advance, I get somebody who's committed to buying it if I manage to buy it. So I tell him, okay, when I buy this property, it's going to flip to you because I'm selling it to you now. So in that case, Omer l'chavera, sadeh zo shani lokeach. I'm telling you, I have an in over here. I'm going to be able to buy this piece of property. The moment that it's mine, it is yours. So in other words, I'm selling it to you now. L'kishe ekachena k'nuya l'cha me'achshav. So that is a good sale. And the guy, the moment that he buys that field, he doesn't own it. The guy that he flipped it to owns it. So it's Knuya. Obviously, you can sell something that doesn't exist. In a sense, it doesn't exist. But you don't have any rights over it. So to you, it doesn't exist. You're selling it anyway. Another proof. So now we've traced Rav Huna to Rav. We know that Rabbi Yanai, and we just had this discussion over here, Rabbi Yanai, we know, holds like Rabbi Chia. I can also prove to you, because Rabbi Yanai had an Arisa. So he had somebody that was sharecropping his field, working for him. And the minhag was that he used to bring him this basket of things to eat every Erev Shabbos. One day, he didn't show up. It's 5 minutes before Shkia, and Rabbi Yanai is getting very nervous, because if the guy comes late, then he's not going to be able to eat it, because he has to take off Trumas and Meisers. You're not allowed to take off Trumas and Meisers on Shabbos. So what does he do? He didn't come. So he went ahead and took off the Trumas and Meisers from his own Paris that he had in his house that was Tevel. And even though it hadn't arrived, he figured that he could then eat it. Afterwards, he came to Rabbi Chia to see if Rabbi Chia agreed with him that it was okay to do that. And to take off Trumas and Meisers was something that wasn't even his yet, because the guy hadn't presented it to him. And so he explains, he's talking about that it wasn't his fruit, it was the sharecroppers. He used to bring it to him as a gift. And Reb Chia said, yep, you did the right thing. Shapir avad it, you did the right thing. And you know what? The Torah B'davka says, never miss out on a good Shabbos treat just because you haven't taken off Trumas and Meisers. So, and that's what it's referring to. What else could it mean? The Tanya, take a look at this brisa. Leman tilmad lira et Hashem Elokecha kol hayamim. So, what in the world is this supposed to be saying? The Torah says, "V'achalta lifnei Hashem Elokecha, b'makom asher yivchar l'shaken shmo sham." Famous pasuk we've talked about so many times: "Ma'asar digamcha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha b'chorot b'korcha v'tzonecha." But what's interesting is the incredible closing of that pasuk. You should eat in the Beis HaMikdash all of these things, the Maaser and so on, in Yerushalayim. Leman tilmad lirat Hashem Elokecha kol hayamim. That you should learn to have Yira Shamayim forever. So this is an amazing pasuk, because as the Chasam Sofer points out, and many others also point out, Rav Tzadok points out, what this is saying is that eating in a makom of Kiddusha makes your overall concept of Yiras Hashem will turn all of your eating always into an Aveda. Laman tilmad. You'll learn now what it means to eat. You'll learn what it means to be connected to a world that has food, and that your eating is part of being a human that uplifts this world. So they both point out that if this is true in terms of Kiddusha, for Kiddusha's Hamokim, then it's true in terms of Kiddusha's Hazman, which is what the Gemara is saying for Shabbos. And that means when a person eats a Shabbos meal and he eats it with this Machshava that he's eating as an act of Kiddusha and Avedas Hashem, that turns all of his Achila throughout the year into an act of Kiddusha. And that's Gufa, the beautiful diak that Rabbi Chiya is telling him. So what is it coming to tell you, says Rabbi Chiya to him. What do you think we're talking about? It says over there, kol hayamim means including Shabbat and yomim tovim, so that you should learn to eat b'kiddusha on Shabbos and yontov. So what are we telling me? What is added over here that the Torah is saying that there's a din of enek Shabbos that applies even to Shabbos and Yontif? So l'may hilchata, that what? You should take off your trumas or maizvahs. I mean, to tell me that I'm allowed to take off trumas or maizvahs on Shabbos and Yontif? Obviously I'm allowed. It's only the Rabbonin that answered that. I mean, the Torah wouldn't come along with the pasuk and say, don't let those rabbis get in the way of having a good time on Shabbos and Yontif. Because the Torah doesn't address the takonas that are not there. So it's obviously not to tell me itzrich krol mishrei tiltul the rabbanon. And why would I need a pasuk to tell me not to worry about an itzrich rabbanon? That's crazy. Elalav. So it must be that the pasuk is gufa coming to tell me this case that you did. Ki'ai gavna. It didn't come into your rishus yet. It's erev Shabbos, and I'm not going to have your Shabbos snacks. And therefore, don't let that trouble your little head. You can go ahead and take off the trumas and maizvahs in advance. What else would it be saying? So you see that you did the right thing. But anyway, it's clear, therefore, that both Rabbi Yannai and Rabbi Chiya hold that you're able to take off trumas and maizvahs, even though it's a davar shelo b'alei olam, because you hadn't been kainei it yet. Omar Leh, and this is a very fascinating thing. Omar Leh, I had a dream, though, last night. And it made me doubt myself, because in this dream, they read me a pasuk of Kane Ratzutz on that very night. And so I went to bed. That's why I'm kind of like, something is wrong. Because, I mean, it said over there, Kane Ratzutz. I figured, gosh, that must be the pasuk of Kane Ratzutz that was sent by Sancheriv to Chizkiyahu HaMelech. And Sancheriv said to him, what do you think is going to save you guys from me? Are you crazy? This little broken reed that you think is Melech Mitzrayim, who's got all of these soldiers? A broken reed, my friend. Forget about it. Why don't you just give up now, right? So that's the famous pasuk of Kane Ratzutz. Ata hinei batacht lachal mishenet ha-kane ha-ratzutz ha-seh ha-mitzrayim. Ridiculous. So gosh, I took that to mean that mina shamayim, they're telling me, boy, what a dumb riot. Forget about it. That's a Kane Ratzutz. I'd advise you not to eat that stuff because it's tevel. And all your thoughts about davar shelo b'alei olam are wrong. So my lav hachikam, really. Hinei batachta lecha mishenet haKane Ratzutz hazeh, and you did the wrong thing. No, said Rabbi Chiya. What's the matter with you? It's a completely different pasuk of Kane Ratzutz. This is a Kane Ratzutz that's talking about Mashiach Tzidkenu, who will have so much power in the world that he won't have to do anything. You don't have to use power when you're universally recognized as having the ultimate power. So what you think that he would need to prove himself, he doesn't even need to break a kanerutzut. Nothing. He says something and that's it. People are in terror. That kanerutzut, which is the pasuk of kanerutzut lo yishbar, he doesn't even have to bust the kanerutzut. It's so clear. Nothing. You don't have to put out even a little bit of flax that smolders because he'll do mishpat be'emes. So, Anarabba, your dream was an amazing dream that confirmed your understanding of the pasuk and that Adam makle davar shelo b'le'olam, and that you have a right to take off trumas and maestros in advance, and so on and so forth. By the way, in this sugya, this is like an amazing thing. In this sugya, there's an unbelievable story of Rabbi Aryeh Levin. And this is not one of those apocryphal stories. These are stories that come from letters to a well-known lawyer, Shmuel Tamir. Everybody knows Shmuel Tamir. He had the letters and confirms the story. So the letters are like this. Rabbi Aryeh Levin writes Shmuel Tamir, who was handling the estate of a bocher in the yeshiva. It wasn't a bocher. He had just married, didn't have any children. He was killed. And Rabbi Aryeh Levin writes this letter to Shmuel Tamir. And he says, look, I know this sounds crazy, but this happened to me 3 times in a row. I fell asleep and I have this dream. And this bocher comes to me in the dream. And he's got an envelope that is sealed. And this happened to me on Shabbos and on Yontif, just like this year. So he has this letter, which has a seal on the letter, wax seal. And he said, you have to read this letter. So this is like the Bezdin Shomala. He says, I can't read a letter and break a seal on Shabbos. It's usher. So it's all in the dream. So why don't you tell me what it says in the letter? So he says to me, well, are you allowed to cry on Shabbos and Yontif? I can't tell you what it says without crying. So I say to him, no, for sure you can't cry. So if you figure out how to tell me the information without crying, then tell me the information. Otherwise, we'll have to wait till after Shabbos. He says, but this is Pikuach Nefesh, and it's Doicha Shabbos. You have to read this. Anyway, in the end, he reads it to me, and it's a request to find his wife, who is overseas, who never got chalitza, and who is about to get married to someone else after his death, without chalitza. So this is the lawyer. He's writing the lawyer, you've got to find out where this woman is and tell her this maisa. And so he did. And it was true. And he got the woman to actually come back to Eretz Israel to get chalitza where the brother was. It's like a crazy story. Anyway, speaking of those kind of dreams. So because of that, and it's Mamashar Sugya, right? The question of the chalitza, can you get married without chalitza and so on? Okay, so then we have to move on. So now, the generation before, we said Rabbi Chiya was following Rebbe. Where do you see that Rebbe holds that Adam Machman Dover Shalom Bola Allah? Ah, Rebbe. Because Rebbe Darshan, when it says, Lo Tasgir Eved El Adonav, don't give back an escaped slave, people take it to mean, to his master. What is this referring to, says Rebbe? Somebody buys an Eved with the understanding and gives him in advance a get shichrur. So the purchase was a flip. In other words, I'm buying you in order that you should be able to be in your own rishus. And there it says, Lo taskir eved al adonav, you being the master, don't you dare try to now keep him after you made that agreement. What do you mean? The agreement's not binding because I can't free an Eved that I don't own, can I? No, that's good for what the pasuk is coming to tell you, that in making such a condition, you do not own the rights to keep him subjugated to you. You have to let him go because you already wrote him, you already made him free, you see. So, hechi dami. Omer of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Rebbe's talking about where you wrote out a get shichrur, and you wrote it in this lashon, likisha ekachacha, when I end up buying you legally, you are your own legal owner. So, okay, it's a davar shelo bal olam. Clearly, Rebbe holds you can do that. And Rebbe was following Rebbe Meir. How do we know that Rebbe Meir holds that? Because Rebbe Meir said in a bright, I should say to Tanya, ha'omer le'isha ha'reyat mekudeshet li la'achash et gayer. That's the case that we had. You tell a woman, after I become Jewish, now I'm giving you a ring now, the moment I become Jewish, you're mine. Or after you become Jewish. Or after I'm freed from my current state of avdus. Or after you're freed from your current state of shivchus. Or after your husband dies. Or after your sister dies, to whom I married now. These are very suspicious statements. But anyway, and this was our original, this is what caused the whole thing in the beginning. This was the pearl that Rabbi Yochanan had discovered. After your Yavama gives you chalitza, then I want to marry you. In all of these cases, Eina Mekudeshes, but Rebbe Meir Omer Mekudeshet, because obviously Rebbe Meir holds that you can actually do something at a Shelo Bal Olam. You gave Kedusha now. And we said that Rebbe Meir was going like Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. What is Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov referring to? So Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov was talking about, actually, it was a pretty complicated brisa that we learn in detail in Kedushin. But over there, the question is, to be able to take off truma from something that is connected to the ground, so it's mechubel karka on something that's not mechubel karka, or vice versa. And the question is that bepashtus, the dinim of truma is only after both what you're giving and what you're giving for has already been kotsur. So then it becomes a tfu'ah. But if you try to take off tfu'ah for something that's still in the ground, so then it doesn't become truma. Basically, everything is tevel. So you'll have to take off truma samaisus on the truma and on the things that you were taking the truma for. So there it started talking in the Braita. This is all before this point that we're about to enter the Braita. So over there it says, so suppose somebody was cutting a field, he's harvesting a field, and he says that what it is that I just actually harvested should now be truma for the tvua that's growing in the next row, which I'm about to harvest, or vice versa, that he said, let the stuff that I'm about to cut be truma for what I already did cut. So we say over there, it doesn't do a darn thing. But if he said that it should be chal after I pick it, then he can do that. Why? Because it's biyadai. And when something is biyado and you have the opportunity to do it now, if you wish, it's not considered to be a davar shelo bal le'olam. Masha enkein, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, and here's where Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov kicks in. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov says it does not have to be biyado. Suppose it's not even at the point at which it's 1/3 grown, which is the shear in which it becomes chayev, that's a shlish. You can't make it grow faster. And nonetheless, says Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, yeterakein, I go beyond that. Even if the guy said that the peirot of this particular row, which has now been harvested, should be truma on the peirot arugazu mechubarim, or better yet, peirot arugazu mechubarim, peirot arugazu tlushim, after they grow up to be 1/3 grown, l'kishyaviu shalish, and then they're harvested, when they become shalish and they're harvested, dvarav kayamim. So you see that even though it's davar shelo bal le'olam, because it's not yet grown enough to be considered roy for taking off trumas and maizers, nonetheless he holds that it's chal. So that clearly proves that according to Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, you see other makna davar shelo bal le'olam. And the last source, the earliest source, was Rabbi Akiva. Well, we already know what that's about. That is the Neder, the Mishnah in the Dorm that we spoke about before, Rabbi Akiva. That's like we said before. The Tanan Konam Shani Osalapicha Einot Tzarich Lafer. And according to Rabbi Akiva, no, you better be made for the Neder, because Shema Tadifa Lav Yoter Min HaRa'uilo, which proves that even if it's a Dover Shelo Bala Olam, and we do not say, no, that's because she said, let my hands be cutters. No, it's straight out, because Rabbi Akiva was the source of this entire historic shita that Adam is makna davar shelo bal le'olam, and we don't paskin like it. But therefore, when Reish Lakish attempts to destroy Rabbi Yochanan's oyster, no good. Because there was no way to say that all of that was going Aliba to Rabbi Akiva, because it won't help you. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, then it should be Chal right away. Why does it say it isn't Chal? Because according to Rabbi Akiva, to Makdan, Dover Shalom, Alolam, that's how we got into this. We've now managed to pop out of our tangent. But this was really some very beautiful things from this tangent. But anyway, it's nice to see the all of the various types of cases of Dover Shalom, Alolam across the generations as they were dealt with. Now get back, finally, pop out of this, we get back to our Mishnah. Okay. Now remember that the Mishnah said, they said. Now who is they? That's always the big question. Who exactly is they? So they said to a woman, your husband died and then your child died, or his child died, right? Or vice versa. It's not clear whether that's Alpi Shnei Edim or that's Alpi Eid Echad. So even though it seems to follow the format of the opening Mishnah in the Perek, it's definitely not clear to us whether the Eid Echad is Neman, because remember, what was the basis of the first Mishnah? The concept that a woman will do a very good investigative job because she risks so much. The technical term for that was Mitoch Chomer Sheichmarta Aleha Besofa, Hekalta Aleha Betchilata. You made life so miserable and the consequences so draconian that we believe that she would not risk marriage if she might suffer all of that unless she was absolutely certain, hired the best private detective, whatever it would take her to be convinced. But that's clearly not exactly the case in our Mishnah. In our recent Mishnah about the Yavama, I mean, we don't have those kinds of horrific consequences over there. So the truth is, gentlemen, remember we read the Rambam. And the Rambam said that the whole idea of the Torah demanding two witnesses doesn't apply across the board. It only applies where there's no alternative to ascertaining what happened, lahalacha. But when you're in a position where things can be found out, then you have a right to rely on what appears to be a basis for believing whatever you're believing. If you believe in Eid Echad in a case where he cannot risk lying and cannot risk making a mistake, I mean, it will be the end of him. All of his business ventures, everything, destroy him. He says a guy died, a woman gets married, the guy walks into the wedding. I mean, it's awful, right? So therefore, says the Rambam, that's not even included in the Torah's Isser of Alpi Eid Echad. Fine. So then the question is, look, I mean, that means that we have two different issues over here. We have the fact that the Eid is not going to be Meshaker. And perhaps we really can rely on an Eid Echad under those circumstances. We have the additional fact, this how Tosfos understands the current Gemara. We have the additional fact that we were relying on Mitoch Chomer Sheichmarta Besofa. We're relying on her investigative possibilities, right? I mean, which one of those was the fundamental idea? Because, I mean, if we're going to export that concept to the less dangerous case of where we're dealing with the Avama, what are we going to look at? Are we going to look at essentially the problem of believing the aid, or are we going to look at essentially the question of how much can we encourage her to do research? And in both cases, I mean, there's going to be a tremendous difference. So that's the question that we raise over here. And so the Talmidim asked Rav Sheshes, what is the din of an aid echad legabe a yavama? Can she go and get yibum based on an aid echad who said that her husband died, and we know, at this point we're talking about, he never had a child. We know that there wasn't even time for him to have a child, so he died. Is the same halacha true about Yibum? And here's my question. Why do I think not? Because look, on the one hand I could say that the time of the Eid Echad is, and this is the Rambam's marker, you see, Remember we said, well, isn't the Rambam going against the Gemara? No, because this is exactly the point. Is the main point of the Eid Echad, Mishud de Milta Davida Ligului Elo Mishaker. So we have a general rule that the problem of Eidus, of needing to, does not apply in something that is going to be exposed. And that would be the main reason that we believe it. So Hachanami, if that's true, then that's true about Yibum too. So obviously if the husband walks in, it's a disaster. Everybody's talking about the insanity. The husband walked into the Yibum of his wife. Good God, that would be awful. So it would be the same thing. So he'd be lo mishaker. And basically we could rely on that. Odilma or is the main point, is that we're believing the Eid Echad, not because it's a din in the Eidus, but because of the other issue, which was ihi daika uminasva. She has good reason to do her own research. And that's really what we are relying on, because she would for sure be very nervous about losing everything that she's losing. But there may be a difference in that case here, because the fact is she knows this guy. She knows her brother-in-law. And what if she's always wanted to marry her brother-in-law? And this is her big moment. So now, will she still be so careful, or does love overcome fear? That's the question. Now, in Tosfos, it's amazing, because the sugya is going to be discussing whether hate overcomes fear or love overcomes fear, and what is stronger, love or hate. We'll get to that. It's really adorable. Gershi, yes, sweetie.
Just on this, is the Gemara talking about if she can get Yibum or if she has to get Yibum?
Has to. As far as we're concerned, it's a can, because if she can, she has to.
So then it doesn't make, because then the question about whether she likes him or not doesn't make a difference.
Sure it does, because if she likes him, she will say that, yes, it's true, my husband died. But if she doesn't like him, then she would have done her research. We're relying on research that she doesn't want to do.
In private.
Yeah, so it really wouldn't matter, right? Okay, so Hachakim and the Zimna de Rachamalai, sometimes she's in love with him from before, so she's not going to do a good job of checking it out. Lo daiko min asfa. Amalur Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, why are you asking me this question? We just had a Mishnah. It's in the Mishnah. It says beferish, Amrula meit b'nech, v'charkach meit ba'alech, v'nit yabma. And then afterwards they tell her chiluf advarim. So teitzei vavlad arishon vacharon mamzer. So now I ask you, how did you understand the Mishnah? Huh? Did you think we were talking about a case of two witnesses? Echidami. So think about it. If the Mishnah is talking about trei utrei, and that the only reason that she got married was because when it says they said, it really means they, plural. There were two Eidim, and she was relying on two Eidim, and we would not rely on her own investigation in these circumstances. And that's how you want to understand the Mishnah? Then the Mishnah doesn't make any sense. Because how did we find out it wasn't true? Because two Eidim came along and said, we disagree? That's trei utrei. That's not called finding out that it wasn't true. If there was one witness and then two witnesses come along and they say, yeah, that's finding out that it wasn't true, because that's the way the Torah utilizes the din of Eid versus Shnei Eidim. But if it was trei utrei, then why would we say that she has to get out of the marriage with her Yovam? My chazita desamachta hani smocha hani. Why rely on the later two witnesses? You can rely on the original two witnesses and allow her to remain married. So that doesn't make sense. And I have another point. The Mishnah says, and the child is a mamzer. What do you mean? You're making a child a mamzer on the basis of trei utrei? Edi hakasha? The most you could say is the child is a suffolk mamzer. I'm going to say the child is a mamzer. It's the same problem. The most you could say is a suffolk mamzer. So maybe you'll say, yeah, that's what he means. You know, he could be a mamzer. And he's not being very medayik in his loshen. V'chite malodak. Maybe you'll tell me that Tana's not being so careful. My God, he's being very careful, because look at the difference in the third case, right? Midiktani seifa. And that the whole Mishnah was based on that third case, and we changed the language in all of the cases to cover the before and after, the Rishon and the Achron, right? So if in that case, just to make it clear that there's a difference between a case where the child is a mamzer, not a mamzer. I'm not going to say the child is a mamzer. I'm going to tell you exactly what we're talking about. That before the witnesses came along with that second, that idea was that he was still alive. And then the second witness says, but he then subsequently died. The Tana is very careful to tell you this one is a mamzer, this one's not a mamzer. So how would you say he wouldn't be careful to tell me that he's a suffik mamzer? Ela lav shma mina. Chad. So it must be that the Mishnah was saying that the reason that the two Edim are more chashuv than the original testimony is because the original testimony was only with one Eid. So when two Edim came along, it means that we can't believe the first Eid. And, okay, here is what you should have been medayek. Vitaima, the only reason that we don't believe that witness now is because two witnesses came along and said it's not true. But if they hadn't, we would have believed that one witness, and she gets married and everything is fine. So you see clearly from our Mishnah that the halacha is one aid is even enough to be matter her for the Avama. That's one approach. Now, there's a whole different approach, according to which the Girshmi Ika de Amre. Haloti b'aylacha. That, question of whether one witness is believed. Of course one witness is believed. You don't have to look at the Mishnah to know the answer to that, because we're going to see later on in the Masechet that the halacha is that a woman herself can come along and say, my husband died and I need yibum. Because afilu inami mehemna. And we don't say, well, maybe she says my husband died and I need yibum because she's in love with her yavam. Ditznan, that's what the Mishnah says later on, that a woman who says that my husband died, tina say she can marry another guy. And if she said my husband died and I need to be mityabemet, and so she's telling us he has the brother, she's telling us he died without a child, we allow her to get yibum. So obviously, if we believe her, we're going to believe an objective witness. If you want to ask a question, the question would be, can a Yavama get married Lashuk based on this? In other words, the opposite is the question. Can we cancel a known Chiyav of Yibum based on Eid Echad? That's what we want to know. Here's the question. My time at the Eid Echad is the reason that we believe the Eid Echad that say that, well, the child died afterwards. Is that Mishum Demilta David Legluya Lo Mishaker? And basically, it's because we really believe in Eid Echad where he cannot lie. So then that would be true in this case where he's saying that the Yavama is Muteret Lashuk. He won't lie. Or maybe the reason that we believe the Eid Echad is because of what we said before. Mishum De'i Daikum In Asva. But in this case, maybe she will not be Medayik. And here the Sfara is, she won't be Medayik because she hates his guts. And therefore, the Misnahu, the Sanyale, she hates him and therefore is willing to take a risk. Now, wait a minute. Didn't we just say that if she loves him, that it's not a problem, and that we're not worried that just because she loves him, that she's not going to do the research? We just proved that. Says Tosfos, yes, but there's a big difference, isn't there? What is stronger, love or hate? So he points out a number of reasons over here in which you cannot learn from the other one. Because, look, love is not enough to push her to lie, okay? And because, okay, so you missed out on something. So you missed out on love. So you'll find someone else to be in love with, right? But, I mean, if she hates him, I mean, that thought that she's going to be stuck with this guy, she's got no way to get away from him, is horrific. It's much more powerful than her desire for making love with him, because it's like, it's hopeless. So she's stuck. That is a much greater problem. But one of the Lashonas of the Tosfos is that Gudola sin ahasonot mi ahavata ohavot. Just obviously take off on the pasuk of Amnon v'Tamar, Gadola sinah asher sinah mi ahava asher ahava. So you can be infatuated, you know, big deal, but you can hate. It's such an insight. It's so true that his mom is just beautiful. Okay, so over there, What would be the din? That you haven't told me. Amalu Rav Sheshes. Yes, we can even be medayik that case. In this version, that is what Rav Sheshes answered them. From the Mishnah, Amrula meit ba'alech v'achar kach meit b'neich v'nis'eit v'achar kach Amrula chilufa yu advarim, that then teitzei v'avlad rishon v'acharon mamzer, because she actually was married to a yevama, to a person that she was an Eishes Ish to, right? So, I'm asking you now, explain to me what the case is. Hey, Chidami, are we talking about two witnesses? That doesn't make sense. My chazita de samachta hani smocha hani. So it can't be two against two. Furthermore, it's the same logic that we had in the first lashon. Furthermore, you're telling me that the child is a mamzer. The child's not a mamzer. The child is a suffolk mamzer because we don't know which two witnesses to believe. So maybe you'll say that Tana wasn't being so careful when he said mamzer. He really meant suffolk mamzer. V'chitei malodak, but didn't we see from the third case in the Mishnah, Mediktani Seifa, Harishon Mamzer, Achroneno Mamzer, so obviously he wants to be careful. El Alav Chad, the only explanation is that it was one witness and now came two witnesses. We always believe two witnesses against one witness, right? And therefore, says Rav Sheshes, so you see that our only issue with the one witness is if two witnesses come and say the opposite. But if not for that, we rely on one witness. Halav hachi mehaman, you see? Answers the Gemara. What makes you think that it's talking about one witness? Because why would we believe if it's two and two? There is one crazy case where we always believe a second group against the first group. Why? I don't know, but it's a gzirat hakatuv. The Torah says that if two witnesses come along and they say, imanu hayitem, how could you say that you saw her husband drown on the 23rd of June when in the 23rd of June you were with us in Barcelona, Barcelona? You were nowhere near that place. And therefore, you are liars. In that case, that's called Eid Zomeim. In that case, we believe the second group. That's what it's talking about. Le'olam trei v'trei. And like Rav Acher Bar Minyume says in a similar case, it's talking about Eidei Hazama. Here, too, it's talking about Eidei Hazama. So there goes all of our rise from the Mishnah that it's got to be talking about in Eid Echad, since it could be talking about Trei V'Trei, to be continued. So at the end of this very happy day, well, not the day, but at the end of this very happy day's daf, what do we discover? That we have all of these amazing sheetahs about Davar Shelo Bo La'olam. We paskin that we don't say Adam Akman Davar Shelo Bo La'olam. We learned about the difference if something is biyadai, whether it's a davar shelo bo la'olam. We learned about the possibility of mechila, if a person allows, not knowing that his sale was invalid, he allows the guy to take it, that the mechila is still mechila, even if you hold ein adam akta davar shelo bo la'olam, and we're still up in the air as to whether the main focus of the opening Mishnah, which now we're starting getting more and more focused about understanding the original Mishnah through the questions that we have about Yibam, is the halacha primarily based on the din that two edim is not a requirement in cases that vidalet geluye, or is the main issue that we really believe that the woman does her investigations in a reliable fashion, in which case we might have to insert our concerns for personal involvement of love or hate types of issues? That still remains to be seen.